There being a quorum present on both sides, I'll call this meeting of the State Government Finance Conference Committee to order. I understand the Senate needs to recess at 6, but, and we need to recess at 7:30. So I guess we recess at the earliest time and we reconvene again. Right, I don't know if you can do it right after or half an hour after the last time. Maybe 15 minutes after the end of the last session. Assuming that there's still time to do something. Or just watch the notices.
Well, Madam Chair, I believe that since the House has passed the Transportation Conference Committee bill, I think that would be one of the items the Senate would be doing. But obviously the other bill that you're going to be taking up tonight, we cannot act on that until the House passes on that. So I'm not sure how long we'll be staying on the floor after we pass the transportation bill, but it's going to be fluid, so just be flexible.
Okay, and we're expected, their expectations, somehow these conference committees don't take as long as the original bill does. But I think they've given 1 hour of time to the conference committee we have up is the Energy and Environment Bill, and they've estimated 1 hour from that. So 8:30 would be 1 hour if we can.
Well, we don't have the bill, so we can't back until either. Even though we're going in.
Oh, okay. But my guess is that saying that we'd reconvene this conference committee at 9 and go until midnight would probably be a.
And Madam Chair, I'm told it's still iffy as to whether the Senate's actually going to go in at 6 o'clock, so I guess we'll just have to be flexible.
And I guess that means this thing that we so wisely agreed to yesterday that we would get this bill out tonight is also iffy.
Be flexible.
Well, let me say where we are in terms of information, and I think the information is interpreted differently on the House and the Senate side, so that may be a problem. The information is that after leadership meetings, our target was cut $42 million, which I just first I thought when someone said that, I thought that meant we had $42 million more to spend. It turns out cutting the target means you have $42
million. But, Madam Chair, we were told your target is $43 million. And we took that as okay news. And then later on they mentioned it was a cut. We said, the other way, because they said your target is $42 million. Well, we
just assumed they were coming to give
us. We thought they were going up. Yeah. Yeah, so. Oh, well.
Anyway, fortunately we got that settled before we were out of the room, because that would have been.
Changed everything.
The next bit of information we got from discussion with the people in the Revenue Department, and the House at least has always dealt with the tax compliance issue with discussions with the Revenue Department about what can be raised from tax compliance and how that can be done. And the Revenue Department has told us that we can look for tax compliance. If we put the money in to do the tax compliance, we can look at a net of $45 million instead of what had been previously $22.5 million. So that doubles it. So that makes our, if all that news fits together the way I thought it should, that makes our problem eminently solvable.
Madam Chair, the Senate, of course, did not do tax compliance in our bill. It bounced around in recent years. I used to be on the tax conference committee, and for a few years, the tax committees tried to do it there. But I think the understanding is that if we're going to raise money through tax compliance, this is the proper conference committee to do it. The question that has not been resolved on the Senate side yet is, we might be able to pay for it here, but although I would like to keep the money, finders keepers, I'm not sure that that is going to be within my ability at this time. I still have to coordinate with the Senate because they may have some other ideas as to where the money that is coming in from tax compliance actually ends up. but they said that you can certainly deal with it here, but you're not necessarily keeping the money here. So that's, you know, I have to get that resolved at my level. And this is something that may have to be discussed again at a higher pay grade.
Well, my theory when I hear things like that is that would give us more of an incentive to get our bill out in the shape we want it as fast as we can and then deal with it. This theory of instead of asking permission, you beg forgiveness. But we'll see how far we can go. You know, we may be hung up on certain issues. What did we leave? I think the most important. There's still a basic problem that we have about how much policy the House and the Senate accept in their bill, and the House seems to think that much more policy is directly related to finances than the Senate does. So we're going to have some agreement on those issues.
Madam Chair, you and I had informally discussed one of the ways that we might be able to handle this, and maybe I can just suggest it here publicly. The Senate still has not been able to take a position on some areas where there's a position in the House. The geospatial office, as an example. That bill was heard in the Senate Finance Committee Saturday morning. As of this morning, it still hasn't been reported to the Senate floor. It's probably going to get reported to the Senate floor later today through an addendum. And we've got some language differences that probably need to be resolved. But I don't want to hold up the work on this conference committee in order to put together a bill that we hope can get out of here and hopefully the governor can sign. So my suggestion is, and I think we can get this done, is that we could probably have a follow-on omnibus bill that can have a lot of policy issues in there dealing with that. There's a bill that I carried in the Senate. It's Senate File 1224, which was the Secretary of State's bill dealing with the business records, their fees, and that's actually been adopted in our conference committee report right now. The House author is Representative Dabney, and as I read the status of the bill, that bill is within the House Finance Committee right now. It may even be within the Budget Division that you chair. So it's entirely possible we could have a follow-on bill dealing with a lot of the policy issues that are not quite yet resolved here. My anticipation is to have the same conferees, just you know, on a second bill, and resolve the issues that we can't do. I don't want to hold up the work here to get the necessary things out as they need to get done. But there are issues that frankly have to be brought to the floor and have to get passed, and I think we can do it. It just might be done in two bills rather than one. But that's something we need to resolve rather soon.
And that's something that I can agree to in principle, except I think I have a different idea of what the division between the two bills are. There are some things which we've put into this bill for a reason, because they are connected with financial decisions, and we would really like to keep them in this bill. And I have, from our bits and pieces of discussions, I have the feeling that those are some of the things that you want to see in that policy bill. So that's the problem. I mean, I have, if there are certain things that aren't in this bill, I have problems getting three House votes to pass it as a conference committee.
And Madam Chair, there may be a similar problem on this side too, but we'll see how much we can agree upon.
Well, that's what conference committees are for. But I might say that they're not formed to say that the House just agrees to the Senate position and we move on from there. So, anyway, do we have a possible financial decisions that we can, not decisions, but a presentation that we can talk about? Do we have a... Do you want us to... Is there anything... the level, the issues that we have, are we have the financial balancing of the bill, and we then have the issues of the policy decisions to what we're in agreement to and what we're in disagreement with, and what can go into this bill and what might mm-hmm. have to go into a second bill. Those are the three issues where I think we're in. Do you want to have us recess and have our two groups come up with separate plans?
Why don't we? I think that's probably appropriate because the documents I'm going to take with me and work off of, the one document that said House policy that was never a bill. We went through this on Friday, and we went through every item. So I think I've got a pretty good idea of what's in those, and perhaps we can discuss those items that the Senate would be willing to look at it just incorporating. Because, as I said, we never heard any of those, but either we're going to know or we're not going to know. And whether it's this bill or another bill, I think we can make up our minds as to whether or not that we can resolve those issues or not. Then the other one is that the bills that are in the House omnibus bill right now, and then there's the list of what the Senate status is. So far, of course, we've got we resolved the e-licensing bill the other day. And there's just many other bills that, as I said, we don't know the Senate's position is, so maybe we could just identify what we can do on those issues. So those are the things, lacking a budget sheet at this moment that, we can at least talk about and meet in a little while and tell you what we think we can accomplish that, clear that out, and then we can figure out what we're going to do on the budget side.
Madam Chair?
Okay. Yes.
It's your question. A question I have is on from the Senate point of view is on Senate File 2, which is, mm-hmm. I gather, sort of the omnibus reform bill. My supposition is that anything that's included in that bill is likely to be passed out of the Senate, and it almost could be taken as a Senate position. We don't have it's simply because we don't have an equivalent bill on our side, but a lot of the provisions match up. I wonder if that would be one basis for agreement.
Madam Chair, my anticipation is the bill was just reported to the Senate today, so the Senate's going to have to take it up and debate it and figure out what our position is. What I was thinking of is that again, whether it's that issue or some of these other ones, what the House might be able to do is just take the Dabney companion to Senate File 1224 and amend the very same things into that bill that are not completed yet out of this conference committee. And I would do the same thing over on our side. We'll take the issues that we feel that the Senate has taken positions on and put those things in Senate File 1224. And then when the House bill comes to the floor, you can say everything that is in this bill has already passed the House. This is the same bill that we've already done. It's just we're doing this in a separate piece now. And then as I bring the bill forward, I can also say these are issues we've already debated on the Senate floor, and here it is in this package, nothing new, and then move it forward. As I said, your option is just to hold up this particular conference committee, for a few more days until we can resolve the Senate's positions, and I don't think that serves the purpose of getting this particular conference committee done with the appropriation side. So we'll get there. It's just going to take a little longer, unfortunately.
The problem is, and the House is possibly less disciplined than the Senate in this area. I'm not sure that I see us getting 68 votes on the House side for a policy bill that doesn't have to pass.
And additionally, the House has established its position. We don't have to establish it twice.
Okay. Well, then, we'll see where it goes then.
Mm-hmm. Well, the rules allow these things to be flexible in other bills, mm-hmm. that they're. As long as there's established a position on it, doesn't necessarily have to be in the same bill.
In particular, we haven't done this often, but I know that we've done it. If we're to pass this bill in with the policy that you think that the Senate would agree to when they finally did it, Senate's policy is significantly different in is different in significant ways, we can always then change it in a subsequent bill, and we would certainly agree to.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm not good enough to figure out what the Senate's going to take positions on anything that we haven't debated yet.
Let me just take the geospatial bill, and you said that the language isn't exactly the same.
Okay.
That passed through four committees in the House without barely a question and without an amendment, and I don't think with any words spoken against it. Now, the Senate may be dramatically different, and they may be capable. Senate may be capable of getting emotionally involved in the change of name from LIMIC to the geospatial.
And we were.
Okay. That's right. Someone said they like LIMIC over there.
Mm-hmm.
But the... but, you know, I mean, I guess that's... I do think that there are issues like that we ought to be able to agree on.
Well, I guess we'll just have to separately meet, and then you come back and just kind of see where we're at.
Okay. Let's say that we come back 3:15. How about 4:15? You can keep this room and throw.
No, Senator Junkbauer, we can use your space.
We have space.
Space close at hand.
Okay, and let's go up to the 3rd floor and see if we can.
Yeah.
What?
I'm going to go check the
house.
You want to gavel for Lisa?
What? Okay. So we're in recess until it's 4:15.
We heard some testimony the other day from the Campaign Disclosure Board, and they've suggested some revised language on the Office of Administrative Hearings. Those are fairly minor issues, but just to put them on your radar screen, that we may need to address those in order to before we wrap up here. But as for policy issues, if you look at the page that said that House policy that was never a bill, there's a couple of things in here that I think that we certainly can go along with from the information that we heard 2 days ago. The International Students Organization is something that the Secretary of State wanted. Now, we've got some revised language.
I'm sorry. I'm having problems here.
Okay. Let me just hold off.
Yes. Never a
good. Oh, here you go.
Okay.
Here you go. There. The second item, it says International Students Organization. And I see there's some revised language that the Secretary of State's office is interested in, so we may have to find out what's the best language to make this work. But I think we agree that something should be done here. If you go a little bit further down in Section 13, the Skateboard Investment Report, we've amended the language there, and the State Board investment indicated that this is something that, you know, they could do, so I think we certainly would agree that we should go along with that. And if you go down towards the bottom, Section 88, Rental Space Cost Savings on page R94, that was a study regarding telecommuting and so forth, and again, this is House-only positions, but we've looked them over and thought those were things that we would probably want to do. On the bill, the form, it's bills heard in State Government Budget Division and Omnibus Bill. As I say, many of these things just the Senate has no position on. We've already adopted e-licensing. The one item, the real property system, which was House File 1781, is something that we think is probably important to do, and so we would like to favorably consider that. If you go down to the bottom, it turns out, as I understand it, the veterans preferences issues, both by Representative Newton and House File 715, apparently have already been adopted in the Ag and Vets Conference Committee. We don't see a need to do it here, but because apparently it's already been done there. But so the only item on that list that needs to, that we would, that hasn't been done already, which is the licensing, would be the real property system. So as far as policy, that those are the things that we've identified as issues that we would agree to at this time. As for the budget side, as you know, in the Senate bill, we did not have any federal stimulus funding. We did not use tax compliance funding. We did not cut the deputy commissioners or assistant commissioners. So when we look at what is in the budget side of the bill, the Senate was very close to the target that we currently have. So we would propose adopting the Senate proposed budget with some exceptions, and that's that the revised target allows us to fund the LEAN program at $272,000. It would allow us to fund the grants office at $250,000, and it would also allow us to put some funding, $278,000, into the in lieu of rent. Madam Chair, that's what our proposal is.
Now, our proposal is considerably different. Let's work on the finances. Let's work on the finances first. Can we give out our financial? As soon as everyone has it, I'd like Ms. Roberts to go over the House financial proposal. Okay. All members have it. We'll now ask Ms. Roberts to go over the.
Madam Chair, members, I'm going to start on page one with the legislature. The offer includes the Senate position on its own budget of a 5% reduction, and the House position for its own budget and the LCC of a 3% reduction. Also included is the one-time funding for the Legislative Commission and Planning. Legislative Commission of Planning and Fiscal Policy Federal Oversight, and the $10,000 one-time funding for the Minnesota-Dakota Manitoba Legislators Forum.
And if I can comment, we did not include the Senate Redistricting Commission because our sources tell us there's no chance of that passing the House at all. So if we did it, it would just not be appropriated. It would never be used.
Okay. It, moving on to the Secretary of State, the House and Senate were identical on the recommended funding for that office. We picked that up. For the state auditors, the recommendation is the House position without an additional operating cut and the $680,000, which is the 10-11 amount for the stimulus funds reporting and oversight. For the Attorney General, again, it's the House position with the operating budget reduction recommended by the Governor and some additional partial funding for House File 8 and House File 7. Moving on to the Governor's office, we were virtually identical on this between the House and Senate, and the recommendation picks up the Senate numbers on moving the policy and D.C. staff fully funded, and then at the bottom of the spreadsheet, it also picks up the Senate position on allocating those reductions back to the agencies that funded that staff, with the recognition that we may have to do some adjustments to that number when we find out what other conference committees have done in terms of using money within their budgets.
And I will point out that the Governor's office had real objection to the prohibition of interagency agreements, and so we don't have the language specifically, but we've agreed to take out the prohibition of interagency agreements, but we would still like to have the budget in this more transparent way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, but who knows what the future might bring in terms of what's needed for interagency agreements.
Mm-hmm.
so we agreed that that was unnecessary meddling.
Moving on to the Department of Administration, the offer includes the $1 million biennial increase for the in lieu of rent, which the governor requested. For the real property system, $1.44 million is included from the general fund. This is not the full amount of the governor's request, but the offer would also include the health language on the special revenue fund and the ability to receive funds from other agencies. The Office of Grants Management, we have the $250,000 for the funding of that office. And again, the House and Senate were very close on that, and I think that might be just the language or policy direction that you would continue to work on. Moving down to line 37 is $25,000. This is from a House position on one-time funding for a report on innovation and collaboration. And the operating budget reduction number is the House number, and we do need to clarify whether or not the Environmental Conference Committee included the language that I believe was on the Senate position in that bill and in the House position on this bill, preventing the governor from transferring the EQB to the PCA. And the reason, if that transfer is prevented, I think the reduced reductions are a part of that consideration. Moving on to Department of Finance, the funding here again is at the House position, which includes operating budget reduction, partial funding of the governor's request for stimulus funds reporting and oversight, again partial funding for the federal stimulus match, and partial funding for the financial oversight and assistance requested by the governor. Moving on to the second page on the Office of Enterprise Technology, the recommendation here is to pick up the governor's operating budget reduction, so this would be identical to House position, but not including any funding for the data center consolidation or the Senate position on the IT security chargeback. For the Campaign Finance Board, the offer includes the increase to the Campaign Finance Board of $50,000 per year offset by a reduction to the public subsidy program in the same amount. And again, this is an area where I think the House and Senate were sort of similar in their intent on this. And staff has had some discussions about the best way to do this, including addressing the township concerns. And I think that we can probably come up with some recommendation on how to address this. And that relates also to the recommendation to the Office of Administrative Hearing. For the Revenue Department, the numbers that
you will point out that that's the Senate position on giving the $100,000 to the Campaign Finance Board.
For the Department of Revenue, on line 63, you'll see here are the increased numbers for tax compliance. Using a 4-to-1 ratio, appropriating $15 million to achieve $60 million in new general fund revenues. That's the net of $45 million. And that is something that the Department of Revenue brought forward. On the Capital Area and Architecture Board, this is, the House and Senate were identical, so it's a $38,000 budget reduction. On the Indian Affairs Council, the offer includes both the operating budget reduction that was on both sides, plus the House position on the additional funding for the Indian burial sites and unfunded federal mandates. And then for the remaining three small councils and the Amateur Sports Commission, again, the House and Senate were identical on their funding positions. The House offer includes those budget reductions and the partial base restoration for the Amateur Sports Commission. Moving down to statutory general fund changes, again, here you'll see the recommended changes to the Campaign Finance Board subsidy and the amounts that would be moving sort of within that appropriation. For the Amateur Sports Commission, the $1.5 million is counted for the elimination of the Target Center statutory appropriation. And then finally on lines 87 and 88, you'll see that the offer includes both funding for MAPS and for the integrated tax system. Moving on to the last page, under general reductions, on line 96, here you'll see the offset to agency budgets to fully fund the governor's office. And then on line 97, there's no longer any reductions for deputy and assistant commissioners. Finally, moving down to the revenue changes, beginning on line 106, the first item is the offset for the state auditor stimulus oversight audit fees. The next two items, the House and Senate, were identical again on the dedicated general fund portion of the non-dedicated. This was a technical change for the international student fee, and then the small general fund increase from business filing fee changes. On line 109 is the general fund revenue that would be achieved from directing a portion of the grants or offsetting a portion of grants and depositing those revenues in the general fund. On line 110, here you would see the second part of the tax, additional tax compliance initiative, now with revenues of $60.1 million. On lines 111 and 112 was the tracking for the land sales extension. We understand that this has actually been included in the Environment Conference Committee report, so it may not be something that this Conference Committee needs to consider anymore. On line 113, there's a $3 million one-time-only cancellation from the Facilities Repair and Replacement account, but no language doing any permanent changes to that fund. On line 115, $1 million, this is a Senate position on a cancellation from the tax increment account, and I believe the state auditor testified that there needs to be Senate language that goes along with this in order to make that proposal work. So that brings the total, that's the total general fund revenues of $65.2 million. So again, the expenditure changes in this offer would be $22.4 million, offset by revenue changes of $65 million, and brings us to the target of $580,057.
Then, are there any questions or comments? Okay. Then, as far as the, we worked on the language and policy issues a little differently. I think we can distribute a sheet which was on the undecided language item. We have that. So I hope if I say anything wrong, I hope members of my team will correct me, but let me see what we've proposed to, much as we try to get it, let us have a better image in the legislature, we'll take out the changing the name of the division. We'll remove changing the names of the division, remove the legislative employee telecommuting. We want to keep the language, then the ones that we want to keep are the ones, if I go down where the kind of page is, it's probably easy to do it. The next on the list, the R20, 37, 40, and 41, that's I think Senate File 2, we want to keep that. The one that starts on R21, the misuse of state funds, we want to keep that. Language for the demographer, R22, keep that. Approval of telephone use, which is this silly having to sign things if they're under $5. We want to keep that. We want to keep the laws not named for living people. We wanted to keep, although I remember Senator Resch made a suggestion about making that prospective, and we're certainly willing to think of that as prospective. We want to keep the purposes of websites and contact information. R29, we can just cross that off. I think we've agreed on that. On the amended language from the State Board of Investment. R30, the transfer of MAD to finance, we want to keep that. We'll give, we see that the Senate is not ready to sufficiently reduce its carbon footprint, so we'll give up the greatest evidence of your carbon footprint, which is the parking spaces on Aurora Avenue. And you want to keep the False Claim Act, you want to keep the not allowing the Department of Finance to change its name, we want to keep the web database of state expenditures. The next one, R42, the IT budget proposals to go through OET. We understand that the language that we have in there is awfully restrictive and wouldn't work, so we're looking at a modification of that we don't have to present right now. We're going to keep the deposit of litigation proceeds, keep the budget reserve language, keep the R45, 48 lease purchase, keep that. The E-Verify, we want to sort of strike but modify, because that's something that we think members of the Republican caucus may feel strongly about, but the legislative auditor is coming out with a report on E-Verify. It might be a better thing to do next year instead of this year. So we're looking at some modification of the language to keep something that kind of keeps the thought of that behind. We want to keep letter-sized paper, keep enterprise real property, keep bird-safe buildings, which may be changing the title so it deals with energy conservation, give up naming rights, give up compostable materials in cafeteria, keep advertising on construction fences. We want to clarify the lieutenant governor's car. Is that we just want to strike the language in the statute that gives the car to the lieutenant governor, but we want to, which actually goes along with things that we did years ago in just putting lieutenant governor in the governor's office. If the governor's office feels it needs two cars, we can make sure that it has two cars. We can also make it clear that in no way are we saying that the lieutenant governor can't use a state car. Just want to strike the line in the statute that assigns one to the lieutenant governor. And the, we want to keep the milestones report, keep the geospatial office.
Madam Chair, on the milestones report, didn't we discuss a modification to that?
Yes. We wrote, apparently there's a fiscal note there that wasn't really in place, so we may change that to a May, and we may change that to planning for, instead of having it with the language as it is specifically. Keep the geospatial office. Keep the state municipal contract ineligibility, but we may have to look at some modification of that. This was the one about hiring illegal immigrants. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure what you may either keep it as it is or slightly modify it. Get rid of the e-licensing system is done, so we don't have to consider it. Leave domestic partners for a further policy bill. Keep vacation out. Yeah, take it out. Vacation donation. Keep vacation donation. Take veteran sick leave out of this. I think that's also in a separate bill moving. Want to modify the Mississippi River critical area to make sure that that's in part of the cultural heritage bill, and we want to make sure that this part of it is covered. Voter registration out. We understand that Representative Rest is involved in putting together a complete voter elections bill, and that will be covered with that. Land acquisition, town consent, we want to keep. Municipal cooperative purchasing, we want to keep. May look at the language that we have. We started with a must in their objection, so we made it to a may, and the governor's letter asked for something that was a little bit more directive than the may, so we may try and keep the may put in some of the governor's more directive language, if I understand that. The state land sale, we think we can take that out of the bill, and along with that we can take the transfer of the Champlin land, which goes along with the land sale. I think that's all taken care of in the environment finance bill. Keep the cash flow study, state employee personal health records, keep councils of color co-location report. That's apparently also in the economic development bill, so we don't, we can, as long as that's someplace, we don't care where it is. So it could be either place. We want to keep no transfer of E2B, maps to include API with the data in open format, we want to keep that. The rental cost savings report, we want to keep. Information technology to OET study, that's on R95. We need to tweak that language a little bit, and one of our members is working on a tweak of that. And the fee tax repealer, we want to keep specifically upon hearing the testimony from the League of Cities. And one extra thing, well, we know we still had to deal with in the Secretary of State's office, the Geldman language, which I understand he's coming in with some new language. That's the international, that's the thing that you also said mm-hmm. you wanted to deal with, but we're not sure about the language. And we also want to get, we want to repeal the language that was put in on the House floor this year for the budget bills that they have to balance for 4 years.
Madam Chair, what about veterans?
The veterans preference in purchasing, that's been actually put into another bill, and it's been put into the Junkie Bickerman bill. I might want to tweak the language that they put in a little bit, but that would wait for another policy bill. I think we won't do it in this bill. I think it's out of this bill. And then I want to repeal the four-year budget. That's a new item, which we haven't brought up. Came up in discussion with the governor's office. They don't like it a lot. And the and then apparently Representative Solberg said that Mr. Showalter came to him with...
Ma'am, and I think maybe he was trying to talk to Senator Bedford, too. I don't know if he's had a chance to do that.
I have not been able
to. Okay, well, I directed him to do that to you also. I know he was tied up in a meeting and probably hasn't had a chance to do that. But the proposal is in the ARR, the federal stimulus money,
mm-hmm.
he said if there is an opportunity for us to be able to spend federal money on the auditing portion of it, we should have the right to be able to spend that money instead of state money, to spend federal money first. And so there's an amendment that he wanted to present to us. It's similar to what we have in the bill, but it would just give them the right to be able to go after that federal money.
No, Madam Chair, thank you. I know that Senator Anderson has the EQB no transfer language in her bill. If my memory serves me correctly, it just pushes it out 2 years. So it doesn't allow it for the next biennium. It's not permanent.
Well, I guess
I don't think it is anyway. At least that's my
I'm not quite sure. I mean, nothing we do here is permanent anyway.
Yeah.
So we don't allow it. I don't remember. Ours is the same then. For 2 years. And the difference is that we keep the funding in for the staff people that they have there.
Yeah, I think that's the same, Madam Chair.
I don't know if there are some of these things.
So does that mean we can remove that from this bill?
Can we remove that as an item of contention?
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Solberg, I think it'll be in the conference committee on Senator Anderson's bill. I think that's already been done, hasn't it? Or it's in process anyway.
Well, it kind of belongs in it belongs really in this bill because it's in the Department of Administration. The budget item is a Department of Administration item. So,
but do they fund it in their bill?
I don't think they do.
I think they do, but
I don't.
You know, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not certain.
I don't think they do because that funding is to the Department of Administration.
Okay.
And you know,
you're going to be right. I guess I just, you know, not having the bill in front of me, I don't recall it as well. But I know it is in there.
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Representative Winkler?
A question, and I don't think we've addressed this yet. Maybe I'm wrong. On page R19 of side-by-side, section 31 looks to be Senate policy language. So I don't think we've, I don't know where, if that was any House bill or if... Pardon? Oh, okay. R-19, section 31.
Okay, and we also didn't talk about the gambling appropriation, problem gambling appropriation. I guess we'd like to keep that. I guess because it didn't come, somehow it didn't get on any of the lists. The problem gambling appropriation, this was language that we had had for years in the statute that took money from the state that appropriated lottering, money from the lottery prize fund to the gambling control. And that was in for years, and it somehow got removed in the last biennium or something like that. And this group has been having a terrible time, and so we just put it back in.
Well, Madam Chair, that money wasn't in the base budget.
No, it's not in the base budget at all, because it's in the lottery.
Right. Okay.
But it had been continued. I don't know how it got dropped, but it had been continued. It was done years. It was done when George Anderson was director of the lottery, so it was done a long time ago, and I don't know how it. It got dropped without me being aware of it, certainly. So.
Well, I've carried that bill several times, Madam Chair, and I just, we've always come back time after time, but. I understand about the lottery dollar not being in the base.
Okay, this is a provision of Senator Lori's bill, is it not? And that has not yet been heard in the Senate. It's in the Finance Committee. I guess it's scheduled to be heard tomorrow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm saying is that it was a provision that was a provision that we didn't pay any attention to because we thought it was an ongoing provision in state law, and I guess it wasn't, but
no, it has to be.
Could be.
Yeah. No, I mean,
okay.
Representative. Senator. Madam Chair, I'd like to make this real easy, because I'm thinking from my perspective, and I don't have permission from my side, mind you, but I love your budget and hate your policy, so maybe we can split it right down the middle. We'll take your policy, and then you take our budget, or we'll take your budget provision, and you take our policy provision.
So you're half right.
Yes, well, You did good work budget stuff, and I know we've talked through a lot of those issues, but from my perspective at least.
Well, I don't know. I'm not quite sure where we go from here. I guess maybe it might be a good idea if we can, in the list there were some things that we agreed on, and maybe we can take those off the list. As we did before.
Well, Madam Chair, again, we've already done e-licensing, so that I don't think we need. Could we clean up one or two things that are here so that we can at least understand what the positions are? As I indicated, there was some discussion about how we work the Senate Campaign Finance Board with the Office of Administrative Hearings. I believe there's an amendment that we can at least put out here to change to. Take care of that issue. Oh, it's on the way. Not here yet. Okay.
Okay.
It's on its way. Perhaps we can talk about the. Can we talk about the language we've had here? And I don't know whether at least get an idea of what we should do from the Secretary of State on this Office Exchange Coordination Design, because as I say, we've got some differing language here, and I think this was proposed by the Secretary of State's office. So maybe we can at least.
Okay.
Clear up this issue while we're
Sheldon, would you like to?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jim Gelman. I'm Deputy Secretary of State. As you know, the House adopted some language dealing with the International Student Exchange Program and giving the Secretary of State's office a little bit more authority to investigate when there are complaints against specific organizations that bring international exchange students to the state of Minnesota. The language that the House adopted, again, because this came so late in the session, we didn't have a lot of time to work on it. And what we did is we just simply took language that is already in House in our rules that were adopted back in 1993 and put them into statute for the last sentence of the language, that, the new language that you see. And it says, an organization's registration automatically terminates if the organization fails to remain in compliance with local, state, and federal statutes and regulations. We felt that, in hindsight, that that's rather harsh and ambiguous as far as automatically terminating and the like. And we came up with some new language that we passed out today, where it says a possible alternative. And it says the Secretary of State may terminate an organization's registration if the Secretary determines the organization has failed to remain in compliance with local, state, and federal statutes and regulations. That gives, that takes out that automatic termination out of the language. And it also gives the Secretary of State's office more clout as far as working with some of these non-compliant organizations in order to get them to comply. Because, as I said, we've run into organizations that are doing fine in some school districts, but many other school districts have major problems. And so we're suggesting the alternative language that is listed as a possible alternative on what has just been passed out. And I believe Senate Council has a couple other technical recommendations.
Madam Chair, the only other thing would be you can see the reference to the United States Information Agency has changed there. There are several other references in the same chapter, so we just do a revisor's instruction to clean those up.
Madam Chair?
Senator
Beck? Madam Chair, Mr. Goldman, it seems to me that the language that you've got as possible alternative could probably be tightened up even further, and here's where we may have to have House and Senate Council do this. I mean, you suggest we say that the Secretary may also investigate complaints received to determine the issues living in a high school. Or there's a, I think we can probably just get by with saying the Secretary may investigate complaints to determine if there's systemic problems with placements made by a particular organization. I mean, that you've got a lot of words in here that probably don't need to be there. So I think maybe we can work with counsel here to just get down to what you're actually doing and kind of clean up the language even more. So I'm not quite sure that I can see the direction you're going. I think we need to probably work with counsel to get there.
Again, counsel may have to help us, but is there a difference between where there's systemic problems and if there's one high school? I mean, I think what Mr. Gilman said is that there's problems all over the place. You know, they investigate, but there may be problems and our organization may be operating very good, but have a real difficulty in one high school that is not necessarily raised to the systemic type of problem.
And Madam Chair and Representative Solberg, again, I think you can tighten it up by saying that they can determine if the incidents are isolated or systemic. I think there's better ways to word it than what we have here. And I think we can come up with better language that would achieve the same results. So, I'm not proposing language here. I'm just saying that I think it needs to, a little bit more massaging before we can get there.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Bessel, I agree with this being real wordy.
Yeah.
I do think we have to address that one issue.
Sure.
Madam Chair, I guess another issue I'd like to raise for Mr. Gelman and the conference committee is process. If the Secretary of State just decides this and terminates it, I'm concerned that there wouldn't be any opportunity to have both sides air their position. I don't know if a reference to the Administrative Procedure Act or some other more expeditious type of process should be referred to, but I think we need something in there that would clarify that.
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler. This does not exempt us from Chapter 14, and so it would have to go through due process if the organization contested it, and it would have to go through a contested case hearing, because there's nothing in here that would exempt us from Chapter 14. hopefully it would not come to that. Hopefully we could negotiate out the problems and get them to correct the problems.
I'm sure perhaps then we could take what the information we've got right now and then ask House and Senate Council to try to work with this language and come back with some suggested language in amendment form that we can consider adoption. I don't think we're quite ready to move on it yet, but I wanted to kind of bring it out as long as we had something here before us. But we seem to be in agreement on that something needs to be done here. I just don't know that we've quite got it here yet, so... That's what I'm trying to do, is to narrow the issues here.
Okay, so we're going to work on this, and hopefully the next alternative will be something that we... Well, we're going to work... The alternative we're going to work on is the second...
Yes.
The second alternative, certainly, and then and we'll have House and Senate Council work on fixing the language.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I very much appreciate it.
Okay.
Madam Chair,
yes.
There's another area that we probably need to visit on Racing Commission, and apparently Mr. Shepherd or Mr. Lundeen or somebody has something need to call our attention that needs to be looked at.
Madam Chair, Mr. Shepherd and I just talked briefly about this before, and it's really very technical. It's just rewording how it's on page R93, just the exact wording of the racing license fee ratification. These rules have not yet been adopted, but we can supply you with language that will ratify the fees that are proposed in the proposed rules, and I think it would have the same effect.
Okay. So
we'll prepare that language for you.
Unless there's any objection, we'll direct counsel to do that. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else, sir? Okay, well, one of the things, we just noticed that this undecided language items, there are also some policy items in the Article 1, which is the appropriations. There are also some language items to be dealt with in those. We talked about where there are, there are a couple of places where there are differences in language, and I don't know if you want to go through those. Mr. Shepard, do you want to go through those differences?
Madam Chair, members, I think when I did this original list that you were working off of earlier, it was a couple of days ago, and it was referring only to Article 2. And so there were a few provisions in Article 1 that we should probably draw to your attention. And if Mr. Bodern sees anything that I'm missing on the Senate side, he could do that. I think we're both going to assume that all the riders that would be necessary to implement your financial decisions would just come along automatically. But the few things that I've noticed that aren't necessarily tied to us that might be somewhat separate from the money decisions would start on page R3. On the House side, there's two riders. One provides that... during the upcoming biennium, revenue received by the House from sponsorship notices are appropriated to the House. And the second one requires the House to develop a system under which its members and employees would have electronic access to payroll and payroll deduction information.
I don't know if there's any objection from the Senate to allowing these provisions that apply only to the House.
Let's think about
okay.
it. Then the sponsorship notices are in like TV ads, or what are those things? What are we referring to? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Senator, isn't also the ability for House to have some sponsorships of like the session weekly and so forth, if I recall right?
Yeah. I see. Okay. So like ads in the session week to help?
I think, I don't necessarily ads, but this is sponsored by like public TV does or...
Okay. So. Well, we hadn't talked about it, but let me think about that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I believe that all the rest of the legislative riders all pretty much are would be automatic upon your funding decisions. And the same would apply to the things for the governor's office once you decide the substantive issue of how you're going to treat the governor's office personnel costs. I think the riders would probably fall in line. Same with on page R6, I think all of those are financial decisions. And on R7, on the Senate side, there's a report on the bottom for the Office of Enterprise Technology. I don't know, Mr. Bodden, if that's something you wanted to comment on or if that goes along with some of the...
Madam Chair, this provision is simply related to how the companies would decide to fund this particular item. This would basically be directing a self-funding provision. If you appropriate money for it, you would not use this rider.
Mr. Chair, then I'm flipping through on to page, I'm looking on, I don't see anything on R8, 9. And R10 also looks like it's entirely related to your funding decisions, and the same with R11. On R12, that's also related, the House language about the study is related to a funding decision. R13, I don't see anything, and R14, I don't see anything.
There's a place.
Okay, backing up to.
On R11, there's a place where we have difference to the Office of Grants Management. I think we're doing the same thing, but we have two. We have different ways of doing it, and I'm not sure. I think the House way sort of goes across the board, and the
Madam Chair?
Senate way has a more elaborate computation, which is all right if it gets to the same place. But
again, it's related to, I think if you fund it directly, you don't need either version. This is simply the cost recovery from the grant, but if you put the money in directly, you wouldn't need either rider.
But Madam Chair, isn't it one that might be a combination in that? Because I don't know if, at least under our spreadsheet, I don't know if it funds it completely.
Well, the point is, in the House thoughts, I don't know if we accomplished it in the, is that we were funding it because you have to give them the money to do what we want them to do, but then they're recovering it in the future from the charge from doing a charge on the grant. You have to put the money up front, but then you recover it. So it's not meant to be an appropriation. That's not, and these are two slightly different ways of recovering it. And I still want to keep the recovery in from a portion of the grant. And I think this is, as we're short of money, I think this is a way of funding a lot of stuff that we do, a lot of stuff that where money goes out, the money to audit it or the money to give information about it or to come off the money that's going out.
Well, Madam Chair, I think both sides would agree that if the money was there, we'd just fund the office straight up. And just,
no, I don't agree.
No, you don't agree with that. But you think that if we're going to have even if we have the money, we should use some of the grant money to help fund the office regardless.
I believe that that's the principle
I see.
That we should
okay.
do. Put it up
okay.
in advance
sure.
to do it, but then I really think that this idea is actually from
okay.
you know, National Science Foundation and a university charges overhead to yep. for grants that it gets the National Science Foundation, National Institute of Health. They're all used to paying a chunk of their grant money okay. for overhead expenses. And I think well. That that's but you had to put the money up to do what you wanted to do
right.
in the first place.
Well, Madam Chair, we have a different approach than the Senate, obviously. I mean, we had actually not funded the office at all because we couldn't find out how to fund it. Senator Jungbauer had the floor amendment that you see before you on R11 that said that, okay, well, we will take part of the grant to help fund the office. Again, that wasn't the preferred approach in the Senate, but we felt that it was important enough to keep the office going, and that was one way to do it. So we are getting there, but maybe we've got different ways of how we arrived there. So
I think that's
yeah.
Okay, I mean, I guess we have I think we're getting to the same place. We have two different chunks of language in it, and I just don't know which one works better. I mean, so
probably need further discussion again if we ultimately decide that we hypothetically that we're going to fully fund the office, we don't need either language. If we decide that we are not going to fully fund the office, then we have to choose which approach to go with, and I don't know which one right now would be the better one to go with.
Madam Chair, the only I didn't see anything else policy until page R19 when on the there's the two house provisions that you've discussed about problem gambling and managerial position reductions, and then on the Senate side there's a prohibition on use of appropriations for certain out of state travel.
Okay. I did get a complaint from someone that this is a little too restrictive. And in terms of the cross functions, suggested amendment that would certainly allow the attendance to national meetings, of which the the equivalent of NCSL and the equivalent of the other national meetings for appropriate people. And I think we have that suggested language.
Well, Madam Chair, this was an amendment that was adopted in the Senate Finance Committee, and it actually has been in other bills. I'm not tracking what's happening in the other bills, so I'm not quite sure with what consistency the Senate positions are being maintained. But if the language is to be adopted, we feel that it ought to be meaningful, because everybody is going to say, well, look, there's something that we want to do. And I think the same email you saw that somebody said, well, we want to send people to national conference. Well, that's the whole point. We are in a time period when we are trying to cut back, and if it's not necessary to carry out the core functions of the agency, we're saying maybe some of the travel shouldn't be done, regardless of whether the board of the agency thinks it's beneficial or not. There's many sacrifices that are being made all throughout government these days, and this may have to be one of them.
Well, maybe the best idea that you'll get on how to make real savings in government may come from one of these meetings. So I guess we're cutting back on, but we've done this cut back to the base of just about every budget in it, and I think I'm comfortable with. I think we lose a lot by not keeping our membership in national organizations. So I would. I guess we've both seen the suggested amendment. I don't know if we need more than the suggested amendment, but I would certainly like to propose that to us at some point.
Well, Madam Chair, again, if we're going to cut out one board or one agency or one anything, I don't think that's productive. I think we really need to have a policy, or we don't have a policy.
Well, I think the amendment was... I think there's a lot of travel with... isn't, which falls between, there's a lot of useful travel that's not directly connected with or necessary to carry out the core functions of the agency. And I don't... Okay, it's in the stack. We'll have a proposed amendment to that. That loosens that up a little bit without eliminating it. Okay, any other comments? I guess we're getting pretty close to when the Senate was going to go.
The last I heard was 6 o'clock. We're still planning on 6 o'clock.
Are there any members of the audience who want to say anything about either of the proposals? Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Downing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I may not have been paying close enough attention, but the prohibition on out-of-state travel, it's in Article 1, so presumably it would apply to every entity in Article 1, but it only specifically mentions the agency or constitutional office. Would this prohibition also apply to the legislative branch?
Madam Chair, Representative Downey, I don't know what the House's policy is. The Senate has put a ban on any unnecessary travel, including out-of-state travel. We just don't pay for it.
I think the House has done that too, but that's a little different than putting it, and I have no objection to that, it's a little different than putting it in state law.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. It's been brought to my attention that there's one item that we may have overlooked. At least I don't see it in the undecided language items spreadsheet. I don't think it's been discussed, at least while I've been in the room, and that is the very bottom of R89, just one text on R89, but substantially on R90 at the top. There's a provision that has to do with optical scan equipment, voting equipment. And I'm told that this provision is in the Senate elections omnibus bill that is on the Senate floor right now, and that no one has objected to this, but there it is.
Oh.
Just handed a note, so.
Is that?
Yep.
This is really a, yeah, that's a good, this is really a total appropriations issue, and I think not a, doesn't really belong in the voting.
Where is it?
House language R89 to R90.
All right, R90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And you had that in the Shepherd bill in the Senate, I guess? Is that?
Yes. Yes, it's in the omnibus election bill.
Well,
I just wanted to call
okay.
Everyone's attention. That's all.
Well, the question is this, we hadn't talked about this as going into the omnibus election bill. I guess it's that. Well, Ms. Fraser's here. Why don't you say some comments about the omnibus?
It's there, right? It's in Katie's bill?
Madam Chair and members, this provision was brought to the legislature by the counties, primarily because this money is appropriated to the counties, and all the language does is just extend the appropriation so the money continues to be available to them.
I think I'd really prefer to keep this. I don't think this is of the level of things that rise to the issue that we're going to be discussing in omnibus voting issues. I'd rather keep this in this bill. I don't think it's merely the extension of a existing appropriation, and it's not even. I don't know. Any thoughts from the Senate on?
Well,
I don't think it's going to come out in the elections bill. I mean, I don't have any objection to it being here either, but
okay.
It's probably going to stay there.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is election bills. We're hoping that it doesn't have a dubious future, but this one just seems so minor and so pretty important to them that I don't see why we can't leave it in here too. And if you have no objection, the rest of the Senate conferees agree.
Well, Madam Chair, there's significant differences between the two bodies and their positions on this bill, and I'm going to have to go back to the floor at 6 o'clock. I honestly don't believe we're going to meet a deadline to complete this bill tonight by 10 o'clock.
He gave you a proposal that could do it in 5 minutes. But, so, I actually just wanted to limit the discussion to this one piece. Can we agree on this one piece so we can take it off
I'm not
the table?
I'm not quite prepared to do that.
Oh. Any other comments from any members?
Madam Chair, no, I guess I don't have a comment on any of the proposals back and forth. So the Senate goes into session at 6 o'clock,
yeah.
And the House goes in at 7:30. So realistically, the earliest we could be back at the table would be 8:30. Or nine.
I would propose that we come back.
But
I would propose that we reconvene at 9.
And Madam Chair, there's no prohibition on exchanging proposals while we're in session, is there?
People can talk all I want.
So if there are to be proposal exchanges, I think they should be done in public as part of the conference committee process. I mean, we can have informal discussions, obviously. But I think that if we're going to have any serious proposals, they need to be presented in a public forum.
Well, I would hope that there would be discussions among either members of each group separately and maybe back and forth. But I agree with Senator Bechtel, but that's why I think it's a good idea for us to convene at 9.
Okay. Or after.
Or after the. Or
if one body is immediately after one body is.
I can't see the House getting out before 9, but Representative Simon.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just trying to understand also procedurally, so where is the ball at this point? I mean, I assume it's in the Senate's court, and...
Madam Chair, Representative Simon, I don't know that. The House has made a proposal, the Senate has made a proposal. There's great differences here. We'll keep meeting, keep talking, but if you're saying it's up to the Senate to come back and accede to the House's position, I don't see that happening immediately.
Well,
Madam Chair, I'm just trying to get, I mean, if we continue to do these simultaneous offers, which is apparently what happens, I think that's not a great use of our time. So it seems to make sense to me to understand who's responding to what. If we're just going to have multiple simultaneous offers, that doesn't seem very useful.
Madam Chair, the Senate is not going to be in a position to adopt provision for which we have bills on the floor that we have not voted on.
Well, this is a problem between the two bills. The House has voted on every one of these provisions. They've gone through 3 to 4 House committees, and they've been passed. And then with some dissent, sometimes I think in the proposal we've put before you, we've probably removed all of the ones that even had some dissent in discussion. And so I guess I don't who's going to inform. You know, there was, I don't know if it was a suggestion or a command from, obviously it can never be a command. It was a suggestion from leadership that we meet the. That they would like to have this bill out earlier. So who's going to go tell leadership that we're not?
Madam Chair, I cannot go to the Speaker. I am going to go to the Senate Majority Leader and say there will not be a bill by 10 o'clock tonight.
Madam Chair?
Okay.
I have a question. Thank you, Madam Chair. This handout we have that says House policy that was never a bill.
The one that we ended up working on was the undecided language item.
Right. But my question was, when you were just talking about all these things that were vetted in committee process, these ones that I'm sure that says health policy that was never a bill, was that just wrapped in your omnibus bill then? Okay.
Some of them might have, I don't know if that some of them were floor amendments. I have to look at that list exactly.
Okay.
But some of them were, they were either floor amendments or in the omnibus bill that, as I said, then went through three committees. And some came from GovOps before that, so. Oh, I'm sorry, no, I guess those didn't, because those would have been a bill.
And Madam Chair, I guess I have one other question. You've got the policy piece and obviously the finance piece, and one outstanding issue, minor, on the finance side is where the tax compliance dollars go. To the extent that the bill contains the language to do that, where the proceeds reside, and I guess
I have been told that they reside in this bill.
I guess my suggestion or my hope would be that when we meet back here at 9 o'clock, we at least have a resolution between in discussions with leadership on that issue.
The Senate's view is that if not been determined that this. Money that the funds belong entirely within this budget bill. I would personally like to spend the money, but I've been told that that is not necessarily my decision to make.
I would say at the moment the decision is to recess to the call of the chair, possibly 9 o'clock, if we get some definitive no's on some of these. So it's not likely that we can do anything productive at 9 o'clock. We may.
Yeah, Madam Chair, could we make a determination that if for whatever reason there's a floor session going on beyond a certain time period, we just will not meet again tonight? I mean, let's say, I don't know, 10:30, 11 o'clock, if we get to a certain point...
I think 9 o'clock is...
Okay, if there's still no break by 9 o'clock...
9 is
okay. Reasonable. And if we do not wrap this up by 9 o'clock, by this evening, whatever time, then the Senate would have it to chair tomorrow. The Senate will meet tomorrow at some point after the last body adjourns. We will meet tomorrow.
Okay.
If we don't resolve it tonight. Okay?
Okay. Any other comments or... What? We're recessing until 9, unless we can't, unless any either session is going beyond 9. And then we're not going to, we'll send out an email, we won't just leave it hanging, we'll send out an email to all, I guess it's my call, so I'll send out an email to all members and post it on the website. Okay, meeting is in recess. Senator Betzolt and I are going to be asked to appear before the legislative, what is that? Legislative Planning
and Fiscal Policy Commission.
To, for another discussion of targets or cutting targets or increasing targets. We're preparing right now, again, you know, we thought that our job was to try and put together a bill that the governor would sign. And so that's what our goal is to work for. I'm not quite sure what the Senate's goal is, but we're quite confident in our budget. And I did speak to the Speaker of the House, but I guess, again, we're going to have a further discussion in Legislative Council on Planning and Fiscal Policy. But as I understand it, that the tax compliance stays in this bill. It does not move to another bill, and the proceeds of the tax compliance stay in this bill.
Madam Chair, you may have information that I don't have. I don't have that information.
As I said, I only spoke to the House side, and I don't know if you got any information from the Senate side about what their decision is.
Madam Chair, I have no further information.
Oh, okay. And, so I would say that, you know, there might be some minor modifications, but I think the House's budget part of the bill does actually meet the criteria that the governor will sign it, from my discussions with the people in the administration. We are, the issue of the policy in the bill, which is we thought we had it prepared, but we had to change a few words in it. We're preparing a second author of something that roughly eliminates or modifies at least half of the policy positions that are in the bill. And we will put that on the table. We will, you know, I don't want to discuss it in a vacuum, but we'll put that on the table. And then just wait for a counteroffer.
Madam Chair, the Senate...
The counteroffer is not... If the counteroffer is only that... does the Senate have a counteroffer?
Madam Chair, tomorrow the Senate is going to take up a number of bills. Many of them are bills that have been incorporated into the House position. I will know the position of the Senate on some of them tomorrow. I will tell you my personal view as I look down this list that you have.
If we wait a few minutes, you'll get the refined...
Madam Chair.
Okay.
I will tell you right now, as I look down this whole list, there's not a single item on this list that I think is needed for this bill. Let me repeat that. I don't see one single item on this list that I think is needed for this bill. Now, after the Senate takes its votes tomorrow, to the extent that the Senate has taken positions, I am willing to incorporate the Senate positions and do that. But if none of them are incorporated in this bill, that is fine with me.
Well, the House position is that this is the House bill. And so, for example, as part of a conference committee, I believe we come to a compromise between the House and the Senate position. I mean, I think before...
Madam Chair, you told me a little while ago that you could not possibly bring up a second bill with these same items in it and get 68 votes. I don't know how you could possibly return these same items in a conference committee report and get 68 votes. I don't understand that.
Because those items have already gotten 68 votes in its bill on the floor of the House.
Madam Chair, you may or may not be able to get 3 votes in the Senate side. I don't know. As I say, I can't find a single item on here that the Senate needs. Now, the Senate is willing to look at those. You can make whatever offer you have tonight. We are not going to resolve it tonight.
Well, let's distribute the, if that's...
That is absolutely certain.
If that's absolutely certain, then I guess the next step, and I don't know if we should say that to the Planning and Fiscal Committee, is to ask leadership of, however those are assigned, leadership of the House and the Senate to say that the conference committee cannot come to an agreement, and it's time to appoint a new conference committee. But this is the latest list that we're presenting. You did say that there are some items that may appear that may be acceptable because they'll be passed on in Senate bills tomorrow. So I think there's obviously some place that we're willing to go. But there are a couple of items in here, for example, that are the, and I don't know if those are the ones that are included in it, but there are some items in here which are, for example, a bill authored by the Chairman of Finance in the Senate and the Chairman of Ways and Means in the House, and I think that ought to be something that we can agree on.
After the Senate takes its position on that particular bill tomorrow, I will know what the Senate's position is.
Then let's get back to the budget issue. Where are we going to go on the budget part of the bill?
Madam Chair, when the Senate leadership informs me where the tax compliance funds are going to go, then I'll be in a position to discuss that. You may have had some information from the House leadership. I have not had any information from the Senate leadership on tax compliance. As soon as I know that, there are things that the Senate can offer and work on a budget proposal. As far as I know right now, tax compliance is not part of the Senate's offer.
Okay, well, are there any comments or suggestions of any member of the committee? Representative Winkler.
So, Madam Chair, just to clarify, you and Senator Bethold are supposed to be meeting in front of the LCTFP this evening?
Yes.
Do you have any sense of the timing?
Well, they were convening at 9. I assume that they know where we are, and I assume they'll get us when they're ready to get us. The question is, do we just adjourn or do we recess?
And I have not been told, frankly, about that either. I don't know anything about it.
Well, then perhaps...
The communication line seems to be a little better in the House.
That may very well be. But I'm dealing, this is the situation as it is.
Well, I guess, are there any other questions of members?
Madam Chair, at some point we should also ask the governor's office or his commissioner or someone who can speak for the governor that their ideas on based on the budget part of it. I think
anyone?
They're probably tied up into the fiscal policy. I've had some.
I think there's someone from the Department of Finance that can speak.
Well, I wonder if, but if I don't know if they're authorized to speak.
Someone moving forward, so they can tell us either that they're not authorized to speak or they can give us their opinion.
Well, particularly as it relates to the offerings that are on the table.
Yes. Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, I'm not authorized to speak certainly in any specific sense, but I can certainly tell you that as we review the governor's letter, it seems as if many of the provisions in the governor's letter are covered in the offer from the House.
Okay. Well, that's helpful.
Yeah. Well,
maybe the commissioner, when we have an opportunity, Madam Chair, Commissioner of Finance or Commissioner of Revenue can give us even stronger language.
Representative Winkler?
Madam Chair, I do have a question. I don't know if anybody from Revenue is here, but it might tie into this. And the question is whether the MAP system and an integrated tax system are integral to the ability to deliver on some of the tax compliance numbers that we are looking at. I don't know if there's anybody from Revenue who could help with that.
Hi, Madam Chair. Representative, as far as the system being able
to say your name,
I'm Dan Ostick with the Department of Revenue, Chief Financial Officer. As far as the tax compliance initiatives and their tie-in with the new system, do they go hand in hand? The answer is no. But in order to get tax compliance initiatives carried out, we would have to revert money away from tax compliance in order to finish the system. There's no doubt about it. We said that the other day. So we need to be fully funded in order to get it done. So that's where we are.
Madam Chair, I just felt steal words from you, but as I remember the testimony from Commissioner Innes, he at least drew a link between the ability to operate the entire tax system more efficiently and to the somewhat aggressive tax compliance targets that we have in this bill. And I think that also should be part of the discussion when we're talking about where the tax compliance proceeds go. That if you don't have enough money on the table to fund the agencies to be able to deliver that, it's going to be tough to use that for any purpose.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, you're correct. Remember, there's two pieces of compliance. There's tax compliance initiatives, and there's base compliance that we need to do day in and day out. And that's what gets affected by this. If we're, like I said, if we have to revert money in order to get the system done, that means it comes out of the base compliance numbers. So you're losing revenue by not funding that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Did you get any information on legislative?
There's no meeting going on.
Commissioner on fiscal and planning, what's supposed to happen?
Well, I think the Commissioner Hansen is probably in that meeting.
No, where is the meeting?
Room 10, I think. It's my understanding that they were taking up the public safety issue first.
Yes.
And then I have not seen their formal agenda, but I was informed through the grapevine that there was others who were going to participate.
That's the same information that I have, but we can't.
And I'm on it, but I was informed through the grapevine as well.
Yeah, okay. Well.
And by the grapevine was Representative Simon. Also, he's the one who informed me we were taking up some of the things today. So.
Yeah.
I said that for people. I just never. You've got all these fancy things that got emailed on. I've never.
House information said they were supposed to start at 9 o'clock.
I knew that.
How come we didn't have time?
Okay. Well. I think we're going to recess to the call of the chair.
Madam Chair, I have been told that we are not to appear before the commission tonight. I just got that information right now. And that we can go home for tonight.
Well, my wife is like that.
Well, I would suggest, well, Representative Simon.
Well, I just want to make sure, was the information you received that the commission is not meeting, or that it's meeting and that you and Representative Simon...
The message, Madam Chair, Representative Simon, the message I just received from the Chief of Staff of the Majority Leader is that we are not to appear before the commission tonight and that we can go home.
Well, I don't take my orders from the Chief of Staff of the Majority Leader.
I do.
So the last thing I heard was that I was supposed to appear. So I certainly intend to appear unless told.
Give them my regards.
Okay. I'm going to call a recess for half an hour. Find out some better information on that. Recess for half an hour.